We are now reconvening as the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee on Wednesday, May 10th afternoon session. As members of the Budget Committee, we've all received copies of the budget on Tuesday, May 2nd. I'd now request that the council clerk call the roll. Thanks, Susan.
I'm sorry, what are we voting on?
It's the budget for the PDC. Please call the roll.
Fish.
We're voting.
No, we're not voting. We're just.
You're the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee today, so we're accepting the budget.
We're saying here rather than voting, right?
Yes, we're saying here. This is not a vote. Sorry, Commissioner.
Roll call.
It's roll call.
Roll call. Fish.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Saltzman.
You. Thank you. Here. Yes.
You Daly.
I'll do what I'm told. I'm just trying to get the clear instructions.
Here. Fritz.
Very challenging to be on stage all morning and then come right back and to figure out what's going on. It's harder than it might look, although we appreciate everybody's help on this. Here.
Wheeler.
Here.
Thank you.
I now request that the Portland Development Commission present the budget message. I have a few initial remarks prior. Few things promote progress in our community better than well-paying jobs. I'm committed to bringing living wage jobs to Portland and matching Portlanders with those opportunities. New jobs are certainly coming our way, but not all jobs are created equal. We need jobs that support middle-class families, not just lower-wage work. Through the work that the Portland Development Commission will be doing moving forward, I support their focus on shared prosperity for all Portlanders. PDC is innovating to support entrepreneurs as well as bringing economic vitality to neighborhoods through the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative that my colleagues and I have heard much favorable information about. The PDC budget we're considering today reflects nearly a year of work engaging the community. I want to thank the PDC staff, stakeholders, board, and city leaders in developing a budget that will allow the PDC to advance its mission to create economic growth and, importantly, opportunity for Portland. That mission has been shaped by the current reality that while our economy demonstrates business and employment growth, its benefits still aren't reaching all Portlanders. To align its communication and engagement, PDC's board is today adopting a new communication strategy that recommends a new name for the agency, and I endorse that needed step to demonstrate the agency's commitment to building an equitable economy. Together, we'll use our resources and talent to deliver growth and opportunities for all Portland residents. I now request that the Portland Development Commission present the budget message. Chair Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. I'd also like to thank the many people involved in the preparation of this budget. It is truly a community and collaborative effort. As we move into the third year of our strategic plan.
And Tom, I'm sorry, I should have said everybody needs to identify themselves for the record. I apologize for the interruption.
Tom Kelly, Chair of the Portland Development Commission.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry about that. I know better. As we move into the third year of our strategic plan, PDC continues to focus its work to address Portland's ongoing challenge to be a place that offers opportunity and economic growth to all of its residents. Our general fund request prioritizes resources essential to implement the strategic plan's focus on inclusive economic growth. Thank you, Mayor, for your proposed budget that maintains key citywide economic development functions. The budget also recognizes the importance of implementing strategies and plans we have in place to assist key areas of the city, including North Northeast Community Development Initiative and action plans in Gateway, Lentz, Old Town, Chinatown, as well as the 45% set aside for affordable housing. Over the next five years, PDC's budget and forecast will recognize the need to generate new revenues and resources to sustain the agency's ability to deliver on its mission to create economic growth and opportunity for Portland. Currently in draft form, the new plan will ensure PDC optimizes public benefits and financial returns. Later this afternoon, as the mayor mentioned, the PDC board will take up the proposed adoption of a new communication strategy and brand for the agency. I am proud of the strategy and look forward to the agency's continued contributions to make Portland a city we can be proud of. On a personal note, I think this will be my last time before you as a chair of the Portland Development Commission, and I just want to say that, first of all, I believe that the state of the PDC is strong, and I'm proud of where I'll be leaving it, and I want to thank all of you. I've enjoyed working with the City Commission and in collaboration, and I think it's a great example of good government in our city.
Thank you, Chair.
I'll turn it over to Kimberly.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. I'm Kimberly Branham, Executive Director of the Portland Development Commission. So good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I just want to echo or publicly state my appreciation to the chair for his service. I've had an opportunity to see how much time he puts into this and how much heart he puts into this work, and his wise counsel is going to be missed. So we appreciate his leadership. So I'm pleased to be here today. I'm joined by Lisa Abwaf, who's our Development and Investment Director, and Tony Barnes, who is our ever-capable budget officer and responsible for what Lisa and I are going to explain. So we're pleased to be here to talk about the fiscal year 17-18 proposed budget. I'm going to provide some context and give a high-level overview of the fiscal year 17-18 budget within the framework of our strategic plan and our long-term future. And then Lisa will provide an overview URA by urban renewal area by urban renewal area. And then I'll close out with a sneak peek at our new brand. So as illustrated during the March 21st budget work session, we align our budget and five-year forecast with the four objectives of the strategic plan. Today, because we have already shared with you in depth our general fund and other non-TIF resources, we will be particularly focused on the healthy, complete neighborhood area of focus, which is 99% supported by tax increment finance, which are resources that support capital improvements, but we'll also touch on equitable wealth creation and access to employment. PDC's total estimated resources are $342 million for the next fiscal year. Approximately half of the resources available is cash on hand, represented by the beginning fund balance from prior bond sales and tax increment, land sales, and other program income. About one-third of the resources will be from new tax increment resources, mainly in Interstate, Lentz, River District, and North McAdam Urban Renewal Area. Consistent with prior years, the general fund resources represent about 2% of planned resources. So while on May 17th, you'll take action on the to approve and consider the 17-18 budget, we've included in the budget documents received a five-year forecast so that you can see the plans for the urban renewal areas. Because they are largely capital, they can be, you know, they can really differ year to year, and so a five-year look can show better sometimes our priorities. Over that period, in total, there will be almost $660 million in expenditures. That's both for the Portland Housing Bureau and the Portland Development Commission. The majority of expenditures over the next 5 years will be related to property development, notably in Leinstown Center, Old Town Chinatown, and Gateway Action Plan. As seen by the housing expenditure, a total close to $200 million over the next 5 years will be expended. Much of that is front-loaded in this year in Interstate, Urban Renewal Area, North McAdam, and Lentz. Economic development funding is available through general funds, CDBG, and E-Zone resources. We've been conservative in our forecast because of the anticipation of a reduction in community development block grant dollars from the federal government. PDC works. I'm going to change mics. Excuse me. I think I'm going in and out. We'll try this one. PDC works closely with our colleagues at the Portland Housing Bureau, and I see that Kurt is here. So if there are any questions about priorities there, he is available to answer those. To program the timing of the housing set aside, looking from fiscal year 15-16, which was the beginning of the revised policy, the TIF lift, through the completion of all urban renewal areas, we are on track to spend approximately $281 million, or 45% in new TIF resources, as well as the remaining $20 million from the closeout districts. Taking into account the last 2 years of and the proposed 17-18 budget, we are largely spending ahead with regard to affordable housing, with the exception of the Central East Side and the Gateway Urban Renewal Areas. So as we look at our investments, we're heartened to see that much of our impact has achieved desired outcomes, from recruiting more than 2,000 quality jobs and achieving a 10-to-1 leverage ratio. However, we also have room for improvement, with MWESB DBE participation just meeting the policy objective of 20%. With our loan and grant tools, we've begun to update our products and tools with the new strategic plan focus. So, for example, we have a Prosperity, you can go through all of it, Prosperity Investment Program, which is a consolidation of our strategic, storefront improvement plan and our development opportunity services. And it also now allows for internal tenant improvements. Nearly 70% of the resources today, since we launched that program in September, identify as people of color. Over the as part of our business plan work over the last year, PDC, in conjunction with the Office of Debt Management, has been refining estimates for the City General Fund taxes returned from URA defeasance. So what you see here is an illustration between fiscal year 17-18 and fiscal year 2034-35. And you'll see some key inflection points when, for example, in 2021, the Airport Way and Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts will pay off, and so resources will be returned to the city, county, and state school fund resources. What you see in front of you represents the portion that is anticipated to come back to City Council, to the City of Portland. In 24-25, the downtown waterfront, South Park Block, Central East Side, and River District are set to defease, and then there will be another increase in 25-26 with the closeout of the Interstate and Oregon Convention Center urban renewal areas. This takes you through the lengths, the end of the Lentz District, Gateway, and North McAdam in 2032-33. So the blue line illustrates total estimated return taxes, about $380 million during this period. And then the red line takes into account compression, discounts, and delinquencies. So it's effectively a more conservative assessment of what would be returned to the tax rolls. The green line illustrates the funding that PDC has been carrying in one of the models for the long-term business plan. And we realize that this is not yet a conversation we have brought to you in a work session. We plan to do that over the summer. So this is for illustrative purposes. But we wanted to make sure, as there were conversations about the return of resources to City Council, that you had this kind of order of magnitude look.
Kimberly, is your projection of return of resources net of any properties that we may assign to you to develop? Is this just a cash flow issue?
Yeah, this is just cash flow. So this is not our asset management. These are just resources that are returned.
So it doesn't presuppose we've changed your business model in any way. Yep. This is just the cash flow.
Right. This is almost from your perspective as stewards of public resources for the City of Portland. What could you anticipate returning to your coffers? So what you have in this graph is a representation of the long-term business plan model. So you see in the darkest blue existing resources. So these are tax increment finance resources, community development block grant dollars, general fund resources. And then you see that there's a portion where we identify new public resources. So that's where we would ideally like to see an increase in general fund or some other source of resources. That's effectively our gap at this point. But then we also have an area which we are calling mission-related investments and then program-related investments. And so those are the potential returns that, were we to invest as we are showing in our budget and be able to have to really optimize both public benefits and financial return of our TIF assets, we could secure significant resources to help offset our operations costs. What you'll see is that by 2026, TIF funds supporting PDC's operating budget will be eliminated, and so the remaining resources in that bottom level are general fund, community development, block grants, and others. You can go to the next slide. So as we begin to implement the business plan, we are thus beginning to talk more about how planned investments fit into the investment categories, which are crucial to the business plan assumptions. Looking at our five-year expenditure plan through the investment category lens, so this is different from business lines that we talk about in our budget, the three primary categories are infrastructure and grants. So we anticipate investing about 26% of our resources in grants and infrastructure and not expecting that we would get any financial return. Approximately 34% or just over $100 million in program-related investments. So these are investments where we would anticipate a below-market rate of return, a higher public benefit, but a return of capital. And then finally, mission-related investments that maintain key public benefits but are expected to provide a market rate of return, so somewhere between 4 to 6%. It's worth noting that this graph does not include the housing expenditures. If we were to put housing back in, housing would represent just over 37% of total expenditures at about $185 million during this time period. All right, so looking at the 9 urban renewal areas, this is meant to not to look at in detail, but just to see that each urban renewal area has a different makeup in terms of what portion is focused on grants and infrastructure, what portion is focused on program-related investments, and then what portion is focused on mission-related investments. So in the top line, you have our neighborhood urban renewal areas. We are not anticipating doing any mission-related investments. These are we'll anticipate below market returns and grants and infrastructures. North McAdam is heavily infrastructure, grant, and program related in the next 5 years. So at the bottom line, the River District, the Central East Side, and the Oregon Convention Center are heavily programmed to mission related investments. So these are both markets because they're in the central city where we know the market can absorb that, but also where a lot of the primary public benefits have already been achieved. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Lisa, but I'm happy to answer any questions now, or Lisa can go through the urban renewal areas.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Thanks. You're good to go. Thank you. Thanks, Lisa.
No problem. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Lisa Wolf with the Portland Development Commission, and I'm the Interim Director of Development Investment, and we're going to walk through slides urban renewal area by urban renewal area, but you'll note for the purposes of folks who are trying to see the smaller versions of the allocation between different kinds of investments, we have an expanded version by urban renewal area here. So starting with Interstate, the North Northeast Community Development Initiative that came before Council in January guides our investments of about $32 million of new investment over the next 5 years, and then we had approximately $10 million of existing commitments also within the urban renewal area. The Community Development Initiative prioritized 5 areas of investment, which are what is listed here. We're including about $5 million of investment in property ownership and redevelopment together with business ownership and growth that really touch upon the wealth creation goals that Kimberly showed at the beginning of the presentation, and that's over the next fiscal year. We also are introducing a new middle-income housing opportunity investment, which complements the district's sizable set-aside. We're anticipating an allocation of $2.4 million next fiscal year towards that program, which would expand the Housing Bureau's home ownership and home repair programs to a broader community, so kind of a broader set of income levels than is currently available via the Housing Bureau. And finally, what you'll see in the budget is we are anticipating investment in the Alberta Commons project that you'll see in the next fiscal year, and that is going to help make tenant improvements and provide affordable commercial space to local, small, minority-owned businesses as part of the Natural Grocers Project.
Can you hold this slide for a second?
Sure.
So the last time we had a hearing on this, we heard from a number of community members, including representatives of home ownership nonprofits, that they thought we should put more money into home ownership and change the mix. And when the mayor prepared his budget, it was difficult to figure out where this issue gets resolved. And so what have we done in light of that testimony and in terms of changing the mix?
Well, let me see if Kurt's still here. Yeah. I think Kurt might be able to speak to it from the affordable housing standpoint.
Kurt, you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we have a one-on-one briefing with you, I think, in a week to specifically talk about the flow of funds. It's interesting that when the Housing Bureau did its NOFA for this spring, we made available not just a site for home ownership at 5020 North Interstate, which was purchased with TIF, but also capital dollars for that site. And additional homeownership resources. And it's, I think, important to mention that not all the resources were applied for. We did, with the mayor's decision, identify Proud Ground as the entity for which we are giving an exclusive right to negotiate for the development of the 5020 North Interstate site. And we have allocated funds to Habitat for Humanity for homeownership, but there's actually still money available. So what we've prepared is a summary sheet of all the resources that we have put forward, both directly and indirectly, including mortgage credit certificates, a program you will recall that we administer in the region, and down payment assistance. So I have a much more robust spreadsheet that describes that to you, and we'd be happy to share it with the full council.
You know, maybe it's just me, but these things are hard. It's very hard to hear off these new mics. And it is an echo and a chamber, and we're going to have to revisit the technology. Kurt, without going into any more details, and thank you for that summary, based on the testimony that we heard at that hearing, have we modified the split, the amount of resources we're allocating to affordable home ownership, or are we retaining the committee recommended.
The advocates asked for 50% of the TIF lift, and we've not abided that request. What we have done is we've identified the entire flow of funds, which actually gets us significantly in that direction. Because I think they were specifically looking at down payment assistance without looking at the other kinds of resources like mortgage credit certificates.
And so I look forward to the briefing. I guess I generally am biased towards investing in affordable housing that for people shut out of the market. We heard from a number of people, including community members, they wanted to see low barrier home ownership in that district. So I'll look forward to seeing the plan you have for meeting the apparent demand.
I would like to say parenthetically that down payment assistance works if you have product in the pipeline under $400,000. And the challenge in the Northeast corridor, especially Albina proper, is the dearth of product. So we actually have qualified home buyers who have been granted down payment assistance and they cannot physically find the units. So we're shifting more to the direct provision of hard units to then couple up with the down payment assistance.
Thank you.
So we'll next move to Gateway. The Gateway URA is actually set to expire in June 2022, and we, similar to the North Northeast area, have an action plan of priorities identified by the community in 2016, which focuses on creating a vibrant mixed-use regional center through investment in three key geographies. One is the Halsey-Weidler couplet, which they prioritized above all. The transit center, and then in what is called Central Gateway. The majority of PDC's investment in the area, based on community feedback, is focused along the Halsey-Weidler Business District, and we're administering those funds through our loan and grant products. So as you look at the budget, you'll see it in our commercial property redevelopment loan, our business lending, and our grant products, and those are all targeted at really helping with small business development along Halsey-Weidler. A significant kind of set-aside of our loan resources of approximately $4.7 million is focused on partnering with the Housing Bureau and Human Solutions to realize a new mixed-use, mixed-income housing project at 106th and Halsey. And we're particularly looking at an investment in new space to provide for small businesses or retailers at that location. Finally, we're working closely with PBOT on joint street improvement investments to support and complement the small business investments that PDC is making. And we're excited that in the next couple of months, a national entity called People for Bikes is actually going out to Gateway to tour both the infrastructure improvements as well as the business development activities that we've been undertaking. So moving next to Lentz. Lentz, more like Old Town Chinatown, is actually kind of midway to the back end of an action plan that helps guide our investments. And the most sizable action plan investments currently of approximately $19 million is towards the completion of the four Lentz Town Center projects of Oliver Station, 9101, Asian Health Services, and the Woody Guthrie Project. And you'll see that investment reflected in our commercial property lending line item. In addition, our activities are focused on business development and growth, particularly at the town center as we bring on new commercial space in the ground floor of the housing projects. And then also along Southeast Foster, we have approximately $2 million in business lending and prosperity investment program grants. And finally, I'd also call attention to we have $1.9 million, which we're investing in Leech Botanical Gardens, and that matches another $5 million from the Parks Bureau. Next slide. So moving into the central city, our investments in downtown waterfront are almost exclusively focused on Old Town Chinatown. It has an action plan that was approved by council in 2014. And the majority of our investments are anticipated to support historic and seismic renovation of the historic buildings in that area, as well as to provide replacement parking to both the historic buildings and new development that the district has long aspired towards as the district sees its surface lots redevelop. We have available about $14 million in next fiscal year and $27 million over 5 years for that historic preservation district parking that's related both to the preservation as well as new private development. And finally, I would just showcase kind of in the lower left in terms of pictures, we have about $400,000 annually that we administer through our business finance items and our grant products that focus on entrepreneurship and business support in the district. And that's resulted in projects like the preservation and tenanting of the Overlook Building with a local company named Mouvel. Moving to River District. The River District budget is sizable, and you'll see it's kind of well allocated between different outcome goals. But it's predominantly allocated to three major project activities. First, the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan actually overlaps between Downtown Waterfront and River District. And so our commitment in Old Town Chinatown spans both of those urban renewal areas. And so our focus similarly, our investments is to focus on historic and cultural preservation, spurring new private investment and development, and encouraging business growth within the neighborhood. Second, we have approximately $1 million dedicated to the Broadway corridor area or the post office kind of location over the next year. And this really covers two major activities. It covers work to get the master plan underway for the Broadway corridor and the post office site, as well as completing a feasibility analysis that we've been conducting for the past couple of years for Union Station. And that investment for Union Station is approximately $800,000 of the million, and it's part of a five-year federal grant that we're providing a match for. And the goal of that by the end of this calendar year is to have identified kind of major track and building improvements to allow the station to continue for another 100 years. And then I would note, as you look at our budget and you do look at the future fiscal years, you'll see the major reinvestments of infrastructure resources into the Broadway corridor area happening within the next five fiscal years. And lastly, we have approximately $10 million allocated for Centennial Mills in this current fiscal year, and we do anticipate, based on council action, that we will have about $5 to $6 million of that remaining to administer into redevelopment of that site into next fiscal year. So we do anticipate some of that will roll over.
Can I ask a question of you, Tom, as the chair? We've been all at one time or another pitched on the idea of using Veterans Memorial Coliseum as a rail station that if there were ever to be high-speed rail that linking the West Coast. I'm struck by the fact that, you know, Amtrak has to cross the Steel Bridge and come into Union Station, which begs the question, is Union Station the right place for a train station? And if you were king for a day and money wasn't an object, would you renovate Union Station for some other purpose like they did in Denver and move our rail capacity across the river?
Since I hadn't put any thought into that at all until you asked me the question, I would say off the cuff, yes. I think that might be a better use if I were king for a day.
I think, you know, having done a Randy Miller trip to Denver and seeing how they They renovated their Union Station as a hub for many things, but then they moved the rail and bus somewhere else. And we're looking at a feasibility for the station, and we're also looking about maybe relocating the bus station. It seems like, is that, Kimberly, is that part of the bigger thinking about whether it is the right location?
It is. The grant work that Lisa and her team are leading is really going to come at a good time for the rest of the work that we're doing with Broadway Corridor. So we'll have a sense of order of magnitude in order to get it to a place where you could actually have a more active use. Right now, there are estimates of almost $100 million. And so we really need to get that number and have additional clarity in order to be able to dream, to have aspirations such as the one you're talking about.
I love having the rail at Union Station. I would not like it to go on the other side.
I thought if we were going to spend $100 million, I'd rather spend it at Veterans Memorial Coliseum, upgrade and save the building, and use the ground floor for rail if that was in the cards.
So the one caveat I'll add to that is the $100 million looks at just the rail at Union Station. It doesn't look at all of the infrastructure investment that would need to happen to relocate all of both kind of Amtrak's facilities as well as PTRR's facilities over to the east side. So it would be it certainly would be a vision. It would just, it would be a sizable investment.
The mayor in his State of the City address talked about Dr. Toulon's vision of burying I-5. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to bury I-5, why couldn't you bury the, I mean, if you're going to spend, if money's no object.
It is.
You know, why wouldn't you bury the trains as well on the west side?
Can't think of why not.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of, so we're going to move to the east side for a moment. So moving to the central east side, we continue to prioritize our investments in the central east side industrial district towards growing accessible jobs and preserving and supporting affordable industrial options. And these investments are really reflected in three budget line items. First, we have a strategic sites line item of about $1.5 million that is targeted towards sites like the ODOT blocks or other properties along the Milwaukee Light Rail alignment. Second, we have about $1 million annually via our business and commercial property lending programs, where we see a lot of activity in this particular urban renewal area with businesses growing. And finally, we have about $450,000 annually via our Prosperity Investment Program, which has supported companies like Salt and Straw, who's developing their new facility in the Central East Side, together with PDC's larger E-Zone investment. So coming back kind of to the other side of the innovation quadrant, looking at North McAdam, as Kimberly mentioned, our anticipated investments in North McAdam, both over the next fiscal year but over the next 5 fiscal years, are heavily invested towards infrastructure. Our investments focus both in South Waterfront as well as the Portland State University area. Our major investment for 17-18 that is underway is about $1.2 million for bond, which has also come before council, and that's part of a larger about $5 million investment by PDC for the extension of Southwest Bond in conjunction with OHSU's growth, and that complements the Transportation Bureau's SDC investment. The majority of the non-set-aside investments that are currently committed via ZRZMPSU development agreements. We would caveat that we anticipate that both of those development agreements will come under amendment over the next 6 months to a year, and that will likely change the timing of their projects and the generation of tax increment, and thus change the timing of PDC's investment. And lastly, as we speak about PSU's development agreement, PDC's contribution of land value, you'll see in both the South Park blocks and the North McAdam urban renewal area, and that's the contribution to the joint PSU, Oregon Health Science University, Portland Community College, and the City Project at 4th and Montgomery. Our contribution in the Lloyd Center is predominantly for the next fiscal year, this fiscal year into next fiscal year, in the Convention Center Hotel via an investment in the garage to support the hotel. Again, that's actually currently in this fiscal year, but we do anticipate it rolling over based on the hotel timing. Good news is we've heard groundbreaking for the hotel is anticipated in late summer of this year. Development of the hotel was one of the main objectives of the urban renewal area, so it's great to kind of see it come to fruition at the end of the life of this district, and it will bring tremendous economic activity to the city and the region. What you do see, and kind of as we look forward and the garage gets completed, is TriMet's contribution, which is anticipated to occur in 17-18, comes back into the district and comes available again for redistribution, whether that's at Northeast Broadway or in the Rose Quarter. And that's reflected in what we're calling the project development line item, so that it leaves flexibility for the community to weigh in on how we spend those resources.
Is PDC going to keep the parking garage?
Yes. And then finally, just to note, because it was an active conversation over the past year with the Transportation Bureau, we have a contribution of about $2 million in some of our forecast years as matching funds to the Transportation Bureau's Sullivan's Crossing Bridge project.
Is there any impact with regard to the proposed transportation budget in Salem? Is this contingent upon any of that, or is this separate from
that? This is separate.
And so I would assume that's a leveraging impact if that goes forth.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So finally, going to the 6 Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts, 5 years in, we're truly pleased to see significant momentum within each district and some identification of major projects. So, for example, the Cully Boulevard Alliance is investing $211,000 into Living Cully Plaza. The J District has earmarked approximately $200,000 for the Roots to Rise Cultural Center. And R42nd has also acquired property for tenanting by local diverse businesses with a mixture of tax increment revenue and the Community Opportunity Fund. So now a look to the future. So in just a few minutes, we will be headed over to our board and presenting a new communication and engagement strategy that's really designed to align our words and actions more closely with the agency's strategic direction. Working with consultants who gathered information from stakeholders, partners, and the general public, we've developed a strategy that helps distill the strategic plan into an easier-to-digest framework, that of building an equitable economy. That means growing family wage jobs, advancing opportunities for prosperity, collaborating with partners for an equitable city, and creating vibrant neighborhoods and communities. And because we are committed to doing this work and continuing to fundamentally change as an organization, I'm excited to share that we are going to be, Prosper Portland, building an equitable economy. Dun-dun-dun, the grand reveal. So to prosper means to flourish, to succeed, to thrive, and to do well. We really want Portland to prosper, especially communities of color and those that have been historically underserved. The new logo represents a keystone, so you have 5 keystones, which is a key part of the bridge between the public and the private sector, between different communities. There are 5 keystones representing the 5 quadrants, and it also happens to align nicely with the 5 portions of our strategic plan. So we look forward to living into this new era and are happy to take any questions that you might have.
Very good. Questions for Director Branham?
Just a couple, please.
Please,
I think you have to be somewhere, you mentioned, so
yeah,
we should be brief. First of all, the mayor has proposed a budget note and funding which would give the film and video office a 1-year reprieve with one-time general fund money.
Yes.
And he's directing the city budget office to work with PDC to consider alternatives.
Yes.
And I, as the arts liaison, I will be engaged in that and I have some thoughts. And
great.
Am looking also to you to think about where is the synergy? Where is it? Where is the best fit? And what are options for a more sustainable funding stream?
Okay.
But I appreciate that the mayor took that off the chop block for this year. And with 2 of our major productions leaving Portland, this is a year we want to be showcasing, you know, that concierge service as we hope to land a successor to Grimm and a successor to Portlandia.
Absolutely.
We've been getting a lot of testimony recently, Kimberly, about some mixed-use development in Gateway with education partners and housing. Is that still high concept, or is do you have anything to update us on?
I'll turn to Lisa, but I believe that we're at the master planning phase. This is the Ted Gilbert project.
We have been having active conversations around the same. What our understanding is, having kind of looked at that area for a while, is some of the zoning and some of the street plan doesn't necessarily encourage development because it aspired to higher density development than the market will bear. And so the early work that we're doing is we've convened all of the Bureau partners to assess kind of what works and what doesn't work in code and regulation today to encourage development, and holding ongoing conversations with the property owners who are interested in developing. The one thing, Gateway has a really limited budget. So as we look at 106th and Halsey, as well as future opportunities, just making sure that we're balancing our investments between those two.
Okay, so at this point, you're looking at creating the platform for having the discussion. And the final question I have, Kimberly, is for you. I've served under four mayors, and each mayor came in with a lot of enthusiasm about crafting a vision for the Rose Quarter. And at some point, we'll have a whole storage area filled with Rose Quarter visions. And partly I've learned is that we have to be careful about not trying to get ahead of the market. At some point, the market is going to tell us that the Rose Quarter is viable. But but it's hard to jumpstart that. And we're seeing in other parts of the city where the market, you know, ignited development. And so I guess the question I have, particularly with the expenditure of the monies we've budgeted in this URA, at some point should we rethink how we approach the Rose Quarter, including rethink the legal structure that we impose in hopes over, you know, a 20-year period to actually develop and implement a vision?
So I guess I would answer that by starting with what I think was a really strong public process that was led to create the Northeast Quadrant as part of the Central City 2035 plan and established, I think, a shared framework for that area. If ODOT is successful in securing resources to help deliver on some of that with the alignment in that area, I think we will send signals to the market that it is a better time to invest. So I don't know that they're mutually exclusive, but I agree with you that I'm not sure the time is ripe today, particularly with competing areas like the Central East Side, South Waterfront, and even the Broadway corridor.
And just as an aside, I mean, I've had developers suggest that because it's a unique part of the city, what we need is like a battery park authority, mm-hmm. or we need a different kind of legal structure with a role for PDC. And mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to it other than, you know, it is a unique entertainment district, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure anyone's really figured out how to activate it. And yet we've got the pieces, and I hope over time you come to us with ideas for how to do that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to engage in that conversation.
Thank you.
Any further questions for this panel? Thank you. Excellent presentation, very thorough and obviously well-received. And Director Branham and Chair Kelly, I want to applaud you. Chair Kelly, this may be your last time. I don't know. Maybe we'll have you back. But I want to thank you for your leadership. You've done a phenomenal job. I would even argue that it was a transformative period over which you were the chair of the PDC Commission. And you not only have led some of the work that's brought us to the conversation we had today, you were obviously instrumental in helping us transition leadership in the Portland Development Commission to Director Branham. Director Branham, I want to applaud you for pushing very hard, very publicly, and very consistently for equity. And this new rebranding of the agency is really the last step that you have taken towards an agency transformation where all of the agency is focused on answering the question that you have put out at every public meeting I've been to, where you've raised the question, who benefits? And now you have an agency to ensure that all Portlanders who are impacted by growth have the opportunity to participate in the benefits of that growth. So I applaud you and wish you well. So at this point, the meeting of the PDC Budget Committee is continued till tomorrow, Wednesday, May 11th at 6 p.m. here in the Portland City Council Chambers in Portland City Hall, where we will hear public testimony on the budget.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. We are now reconvened again as the Portland